This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Ducks.
Intercepted! The Ducks have the ball!
Huskies.
Kenny Wayne's gonna score! Kenny Wayne's gonna score!
Isaac and Soup.
This was the highlight of their week. That's all you got.
Bud Light presents a Rivalry Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Soup.
Nothing easier to enjoy than that. Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly, 21 plus.
Rivalry Week with Isaac and Soup. On the Odyssey app and 1080.
The most improbable finish to a football game!
The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What's up?
Happy rivalry, I guess?
Yeah. Rivalry. Damn it. Rivalry Week. It's Elmer Fudd Week, where we all speak like Elmer Fudd because they make us say Rivalry Week all.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Week long.
That and, can I?
Yes. No.
Anyone else with the rivalry? Like,
kind of not rivalry week anymore?
Well, it's not Oregon State, Washington. Like, Oregon State doesn't have one.
Yeah.
Like,
well, they do, but they played early.
They played earlier. And then
maybe their new rival is Boise State.
Well, but they're not going to play them at the end of the year. I don't know why they didn't play Washington State.
They're playing Boise State this week.
Yeah, but I don't think that's a end of the year thing. I think it's just the way the schedule came about.
Yeah.
Like, you think maybe the Beavs and the Cougs, like, that would be the new one, and that should be this week?
Some rivalries are going on.
Some.
I saw that Indiana and Purdue are playing.
Yes. We got the Iron Bowl, which, you know, doesn't mean anything now, but I mean.
Florida State.
Yeah. Which, again, speaking of not meaning anything, although Billy Napier saved his job.
It's kind of rivalry.
It's a rivalry week. Hey, you know, hey, which is in November, man, if you're the Ducks. Although I guess the game against UW really doesn't matter because you're in the Big Ten title game anyway, and you win that, you get a bye. So
they should lay down.
Well, I did hear some people that were like, should you rest people? I don't think that's going to happen, but, you know.
Well, I mean, you don't want, I mean, does Jordan Birch play if he's ready to play?
I'll say this. If you have a guy that's on the fence, you sit his ass. Because, like, one, UW's not very good. And two, outside of pride and the undefeated, like, the idea that, you know, it's cool to be undefeated, this game has zero meaning for Oregon. It has no basis on what happens in the Big Ten title game. It has no basis on whether you get a bye into the first round or not. You're in the college football playoff no matter what. And if you lose this, win this, the Big Ten title game determines whether or not you get a bye. So, yeah, I mean, I'd just say this. Yeah. You maybe play it a little closer to your chest. And, like, if Tez isn't 100%, if Birch isn't 100%, no, I wouldn't rush those guys back. I would sit them and wait for Ohio State. But you can't, but, you know, it's UW. Screw those guys,
I just feel like we've got a lot of sports going on right now.
Yeah.
And very sportsy.
Yeah, I don't
sports.
Know if I'm comfortable with that.
Then I got Dan Hurley freaking out. I mean, there's a lot.
What did he do? I know they lost.
Oh, well,
did he freak out?
Yeah, there was a.
Did he go all Kenny Dillingham?
Dude, he went double dilly dilly. Yeah, there was an over the back call, which was an over the back call, and he got thrown out because he had an absolute hissy fit.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, those coaches.
Oh, God.
Especially college basketball. You know, we talk about the a-hole football coaches.
Yeah.
How about the college basketball coaches?
Oh, good Lord. Well, they've been that way forever.
Worse.
Yeah. I mean, college basketball.
Well, I think football has too. It's just
Well, Woody Hayes did punch people.
Well, college football or basketball, they're allowed to get away with more.
That's true.
I don't know why, but they are.
Yeah, I've never like Bob Knight was like lauded and he was throwing stuff on a court. I've never seen like I can't say Woody Hayes punched a guy.
Yeah,
but I've never seen Urban Meyer pick up a trash can and fling it out on the field. Although I will say that while I still enjoy what Kenny Dillingham is bringing to the table. Can I say, and this has nothing to do with the fact that they beat BYU. I thought they were going to beat BYU. They should have beat BYU. They were better.
Okay.
Boy, his little fat cherub hissy fits are starting to kind of wear thin in that, like, I understand. I think it's cool that he's young and that he's energetic and part of that fan base. He's starting to not feel like a coach, and he's starting to feel like a fanboy. And, like, that, Still very cool what he's doing down there. The last couple weeks, some of that stuff's riding a fine line, and I think the with the wife on the sidelines and losing it over the 1 second, which, by the way, was the correct call, I think he kind of looks like a bitch.
Well, he... Okay, so you have got...
Here we go. I don't think he was doing that.
That
he's
was
a bitch.
By the way, Buckley sounded better today.
Yeah, your cat aid seems to have cleared up.
Better, not perfect, but better.
Yeah, not perfect.
Good for you, brother.
As you know, we had an Alien A Day on Saturday.
Yes.
And Arizona State was a big part of my portfolio that I had out there.
Yeah.
And so watching the second half of that game, we determined, because I was with a friend who also had Arizona State. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, you watch a game differently when you've got money riding on it.
Absolutely.
And
you thought their players hedging, don't you? Or shaving?
No, no, no. I just thought that Kenny Dillingham, for the first time, I thought Kenny Dillingham showed how young he is and how much he has to learn.
Yes.
Very good coach. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. Yeah. He's the youngest coach in college football.
He's done a great job.
34 years old. But boy, count the ways they tried to gack that game. He made some horrible decisions.
Yeah.
And then after all of that, like he was, they should have won that game going away.
Hands down.
And they absolutely tried to let BYU win. Yeah. And there are a lot of ways, as we've talked many times here,
mm-hmm.
Over the years, about there are a lot of ways, you know, you learn how to close out games. Mm-hmm. Dan Lanning has gone through a little bit of this as a head coach, but Dillingham, that for him to go ape bleep over the 1 second shows a lot of immaturity because first of all, you can't control that.
No.
Second, they reviewed it. So what do you, I mean.
And it was the correct call.
Yeah. So the only reason you're upset is that you have tried every which way to blow this game. Mm-hmm. And you now have to defend a Hail Mary. And you're terrified of doing that.
Yeah.
And they got lucky because BYU got the Hail Mary. It was just at the 2 yard line and not in the end zone.
And had they gotten the 15 yard on sportsmanlike, which a lot of kind of felt like you should probably get that, and who knows, like, you know, whether or not 15 yards closer, you know, it's a completely different play. But I was kind of sitting there thinking to myself that same thing. I mean, clearly it was 1 second, and he literally was melting down.
Yeah, he was going crazy, and the fans were all on the field and everything. Yeah. But that, again, they did the right thing in the game.
Yes.
You got to focus on what you can control. That he could not control that, and for him to flip about that. No. I think that just shows how much he has to learn as a coach.
And like I said, it's the last couple weeks, it's a fine line between I really enjoy Kenny Dillingham, and there's a youthful exuberance, and but you can't be a fan.
Well,
dog mentality.
He needs to polish up. But some of that is just his personality. Yeah. I just thought he did a very poor job coaching the game in the second half. Just, and that, you know, hopefully he learned from that.
You know, if you just score, that game's over.
Well,
like, you don't have to run backwards 49 yards.
I think they were up 28-9. I think it was 28-9, but he elected to try to punch it in on like fourth and goal from, I think, the 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And they already had a 3-score lead. Yeah. Just kick the damn field goal, dude.
But I mean, to Suk's point, like, that running backwards in that way,
that was
wild. That was some backyard crap.
Yeah.
It was just weird. I mean, I sat there and I was watching it, and we had no business being in that game. Arizona State was just better. And
they threw the pick, too.
Oh, God, the Retzlaff pick. I mean, look, that thing was just, even after the game, Kalani Sitake was like, I don't know. Was that underthrown, overthrown? It looked like it went right to him. Even our coach is like, this is bad. But to be there at the end with that 1 second as that ball went up in the air, I thought to myself, God, if they lose this is Mario Cristobal type stuff.
Oh, yeah, it was. You know, and Dillingham knew it.
Yeah.
And that's why he was so hot. So going and winning a game is different than holding on and trying not to lose a game.
Yeah.
In Arizona State, you could tell they hadn't been in that spot very often. Kenny Dillingham's a young coach.
Knuckle.
It's a huge game. Yeah. Tempe's going crazy. The fans are flooding the field. They were white knuckling that thing all the way to the end. So maybe they learn from it and get better. But that was a good game. But we're, you know, look, we're burying the lead, Jace.
What do we got? What do we got? What do we got?
Rock Chalk wins again.
Hey!
3 in a row.
And by the way, like, in dominating fashion.
It wasn't even close.
It wasn't even close.
We owned Colorado.
You ran through that bull junk you wrote.
You owned Prime. You bitch slapped him.
Yeah, we bitch slapped
him. I saw, I was listening to.
Did you like those unis?
I like what Kansas has going on.
They went
period.
Red pants.
Yeah. I really enjoy what Kansas brings. And I'm not an Adidas guy.
I'm not either.
I kind of find Adidas to be an abomination, but Kansas stuff always looks good. It's like the one school that they outfit that I actually think looks pretty sharp.
I think they do a pretty good job.
What was I saying?
But they should be Nike.
They should be. What was I saying about Kansas, Colorado?
Well, we dominated them.
I don't remember. I don't remember who it was. It might have been the Ringer or Klatt. You know, I listen to a lot of kind of wrap ups. You know, I like
you love your post game shows.
I do. I like hearing a lot of different opinions. I like hearing from different people. And fun little stat here: if you took Kansas, because Kansas is what now 4-win team.
No, we're 5-6.
5-6.
Playing for a shot at a bowl this week at Baylor.
5-6. I believe.
Going to Waco.
Ooh. I believe that if you ended every, the stat was, if you ended every game at the 2-minute mark.
Yeah.
Kansas.
Yeah.
They're 9-2.
Yes.
So just be careful with anyone thinking that Kansas beating BYU in Colorado is some sort of.
Well, like, no one thinks that.
Yeah. Kansas is a good team.
They were picked atop the Big 12
yes,
at the start of the
for
year.
A reason.
And the reality is they're that team. Yeah. It's just they lost several, like 5 in a row.
Yeah.
They lost. They gacked really close games. Yep. So it just is what it is.
That was a fun game to watch. And I kind of sat there and was like, boy, is Colorado going to make a game of this? Not really. Kansas was just better.
Well, I think we're one of the better teams in the Big 12 right now.
Yeah.
The problem is that here's what's interesting about the Big 12. We're just launching right into sports talk.
I know. Well, there's so much.
It's a short week.
You called it.
It's a short week.
On paper, that was not a great week of college football.
No.
It was not. And we say it all the time. The witches of November have a way of coming up on people. And you said it. You said, I'm telling you right now, this is going to be a weird week.
Yep.
And 7 of the top 25, including some just like Colorado and BYU losing, those aren't huge upsets.
In fact, those were like 3-point spreads.
But I'll tell you what, Alabama, who at times has looked like the best teams in the country,
Alabama,
essing the bed against a bad, and I'm going to call Oklahoma is a bad football.
They're horrible.
Team. They're bad.
Okay. Yeah.
Hold on. Is like a what the F.
Yeah. Okay. But we got a whole show here. Look, here's what I'm saying about the Big 12, okay? Yeah.
It's the Big 12.
The Big 12 has 14.
It's Division 1 football.
The Big 12 has 4 teams tied at 6-2.
Yes.
On top of the league, okay? 4 going into the final week.
Mm-hmm.
There are 5 more teams that are 5-3.
Yeah.
Just one game behind.
9 teams still alive.
It is possible that we have an 8-way tie atop the Big 12 next week. And I would also like to report to you, the reason I tell you this is because I think maybe the best team in the league isn't even among them.
And that being?
Kansas.
Rock Chalk.
How about that?
I wanted you to give it to me. Give me your little rock chalk.
I gave it to you.
Well, Arizona State controls their own fate. They win and they're in. And everyone else needs some sort of something. They need some help. So if all the 6-2 teams, if 2 of those 3 lose, then BYU gets to get a rematch against Arizona State.
Yeah.
Considering if we beat Houston. So there's just so many scenarios. In fact, I believe there is a scenario where Kansas State and Texas Tech play.
Really?
There's 9 teams still. Now, it won't happen.
Like I said, there could be an 8-way tie.
Yes. Chances are, I can't even say chances are, but more than likely, Arizona State gets one of BYU, Iowa State, Colorado, the most likely being Iowa State.
Yeah.
But we shall see.
All right. Listen, we have a short week of radio broadcast this week.
So we have to cram in radio excellence.
Yeah, no Thursday show because it's Thanksgiving. And no Friday show because we refuse to work on the day after Thanksgiving. Therefore, we have today, a little bit of tomorrow, and a little bit of Wednesday.
One of the great shows that we have ever mailed in is it was a day after Thanksgiving show. We were doing the Civil War, and all 3 of us came in from out of town. The amount of hungover that this show was.
I think that was a Labor Day show.
No, that was the day after Thanksgiving.
Are you sure?
Yes, because I drove back from Skamania. And then after the show, I went back to Skamania to meet my family. Mm. And the 3 of us rolling in, there has never been a more hungover show. Maybe that show in Ireland. Remember the McAfee show when they went over there this year?
Oh, he was drunk.
Yes.
Full on.
We all just rolled in looking like just death. It was you, me, and Dusty. And we're like, well, it's sports day. Great idea, day after Thanksgiving, to have us come in and do a show.
So tomorrow and Wednesday we have Ducks basketball during the day because they're playing out in. I think they're in Vegas. Are they in Vegas? Where are they?
Good question.
I think they're in Vegas.
A lot of tourneys going on right now.
Yeah. And that's how you know it's Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Is that you have wall-to-wall college basketball early in the week and during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. Kansas-Duke tomorrow, by the way.
Yeah. Well, again, that Memphis-UConn one was bananas today.
But Oregon's playing A&M tomorrow and then San Diego State on Wednesday. So we have somewhat abbreviated broadcasts each of the next 2 days after today.
Yes.
Vegas so, confirmed, by the way.
They're in Vegas. What's the tournament?
It is called the Players Era Festival Power Tournament.
Yes. And it's at the MGM
that
Garden.
That might be the worst name I've ever heard.
Is this the one they're doing for NIL? Like,
oh, everyone gets paid?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Isn't that what that is?
That might be. Yeah, there was some tournaments where there was going to be cash on the line.
Well, anyway, we got to get to going.
We are going to get to going.
And we already have gotten to going.
Yeah, by the way, that you are correct.
So everybody gets paid?
Yeah, this is the organizers betting big that NIL is the future of college tournaments. So, yeah.
What does that even mean?
It means that there's money on the line. We're going to try to get people to care about early season games by paying people. Seems to be the...
And you get more if you win?
Yes.
I mean, I got to say, as like just a casual fan, if you tell me there's a stack of cash waiting for the player on the other side of that victory, I'm kind of in.
There
100%.
There is a minimum of $1 million guaranteed NIL money that will go to each of the eight teams competing. And then, yes, that's...
They each get a milli?
Everyone get, well, the teams get a guaranteed mill.
But then the better you do, the higher that goes?
The better you do, the more you get.
I like it.
Wow. Well, I'm going to do some real quick math, guys. Hold on.
Yes. Says that they did not disclose financial details, but said the event will come close to breaking, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, yeah, there's money. But they're being all coy about it.
If the coaches don't collect, which I'm sure they don't, I'm sure the schools take a piece, but if you paid $1 million to every player, where they have like 15 kids or whatever, it's like $67,000 a kid.
That's tasty, brother.
Well, yeah.
And the champion, because they're not doing a detailed breakdown of what it is, but everyone's guaranteed a mill, and the champion will pocket an extra $1.5 million.
So, yeah. I mean, hell, they may play harder for this in the NCAA tournament.
Oh, well, I mean, there's more money involved.
My God.
Tell you what, if you want, we say it's about the All-Star game, and those, you'd have to make it a lot of money. You want kids to play hard at a tournament? Put $1.5 million on the line. Dude, having played in three meaningless bowl games and not giving a rip about each one and losing them, I promise you, if you put some money, if there was $67,000 on the line at the AXA Equitable Liberty Bowl, you might have gotten a little bit of a better effort out of old number 68 here.
All right, let's get going. Poll question, college football, and our college football nut punch coming up on The Fan. All right, let's get to our poll question today. It is, as always, on X at 1080 The Fan. First, wrapping up last week's poll on Friday. Boy, you guys were so wrong. Here's what we asked. Who pulls it off this weekend?
I was close.
Indiana over Ohio State, 41%. Wrong. Army over Notre Dame, 28%.
Wrong.
Wrong. Florida over Ole Miss, only 16%. Wrong. Wait, well, 16% were right.
Yeah.
And then Minnesota.
So close.
Over Penn State, 15%.
1 point. One point.
That game, you know.
The Gophers couldn't pull it off.
We'll get to that in a sec. Okay, here's today's poll question. We'd like you to vote in, please. For the love of Pete, vote hard.
Please.
Which of the odds-on favorites is the best bet right now to win the college football playoff?
What?
Ohio State is plus 250.
Yeah.
Playoff.
Georgia is plus 350. Oregon is plus 400. Or Texas, which is plus 450. Now, what the plus number means, if you're not a gambler, you bet $100, you will win 250 on Ohio State, 350 on Georgia, 400 on Oregon, and 450 on Texas.
By the way, yours may be out a little bit.
Yeah.
You're having an MRI on the ankle.
Yeah.
So,
and that's something good?
Something to keep an eye on. I mean, I don't know.
I mean,
there's been some talk that he holds them back and that the offense would be more dynamic with Arch Manning. But I mean, we've seen very little of Arch Manning. Like if Arch Manning didn't have the name, I don't think people would necessarily be saying this.
Well, isn't it the fact that Arch can run a little bit?
He can move a little bit, yeah. He can scoot around.
I think
around.
That's maybe what... And Ewers has not been that great lately.
No, Ewers has not been that good. But Texas has been fine. It's funny that we, you know, we make Texas out to be a little bit... Like, if you can sleep on a team that's, you know, one of the top two or three teams in the country pretty much all year, it does feel like we do that with Texas a little bit. Like, they got handled by Georgia. They got pummeled pretty good. But outside of that, I mean, we're nitpicking 31 points. We nitpick 20. We nitpick a lot of what Texas does.
Well, I think with them, it's just that the one good team that they've, really good team that they've played, they kind of got smoked.
A little bit, yeah.
And outside of that, they don't have any huge wins. And Ewers, you know, Ewers has been kind of shaky. Manning, by the way, you said we haven't seen much of him. He's 61 of 90, 939 yards, 9 tutties, 2 picks.
That's better. That's actually more than I thought.
I'm trying to see how many games he's played. But again, he is just a freshman.
Exactly.
But.
And how many games that he's actually started when Ewers was out this year?
Three. It looks like just three.
Three games.
And then he's gotten some time in other games,
some mop-up time, which I don't really count. So, yeah, it's a weird thing. I'd still say I think the most complete team in the country is Oregon.
Plus 400.
I'm taking the Ducks.
Plus 400, dude.
You know, and in Ohio State, I just...
It's a good bet.
You know, the O-line thing still concerns me. I mean, Indiana... look, Indiana just wasn't prepared for that game. They haven't played in a meaningful game like that forever. I thought in the first half, obviously, they played a very good half and were stalemating Ohio State, but then you had the special teams problems, and from there it just kind of melted down.
They didn't have the horses, did they?
No,
I mean,
they
come on. I think they were prepared for the game. I mean, that their first drive, they went down and
right
scored
down
a touchdown,
but they didn't have
and then
answers.
They stopped Ohio State on, inside the red zone, or like inside the five, I think, on fourth down. So it looked like Indiana was going to play with them, but it was one of those games where the more you watched it, even though Ohio State, you know, kind of struggled to get their footing early, the more you watch it, the more you're like, there is a mismatch. And, you know, a mismatch of talent.
Jim's and Joe's.
Urban Meyer called it on the pregame. I don't know if you watched any of the big nooner, but he did something that you did back when, remember when Oregon and Ohio State played in the Rose Bowl and we were down on the field? This was the first one, the Terrell Pryor one.
Yeah.
We were down on the field and you were like, dude, there is a giant difference between these two teams just by looking at their players as they warm up, you know?
Yes.
Urban Meyer said the same thing about that game. He was like, I looked out here on the field pregame and I went, Indiana better stay with them early or they could be in trouble. Well, they did stay with them early and they were still in trouble. So the Indiana just, and that, we knew that. Come on, that was a, Indiana, as good as they have played, there is a difference in talent to the point that you're just not going to beat Ohio State.
I think
what
was it? Four. They don't have a 5-star kid. I think Indiana had 9.
Exactly.
It was like 9 4-star kids, and Ohio State had 62,
exactly.
63 4 and 5-star kids.
Ohio State's defense is legit, dude. Yeah, I mean, they're Rourke. So they went down and scored on the first possession, and were up 7-0. Nice little drive. They only got 81 yards the rest of the game.
Yeah, and Ohio State's pass rush started to show up finally, and they weren't just getting cooked on the back end when they were trying to bring pressure a la against Oregon. So I believe the defense has taken steps forward. If Ohio State's O-line were intact, I know I keep going back to that, I think I would take Ohio State. I want to see in the Big Ten title game, I want to see that O-line run the ball against Oregon's front. And
yeah,
when you got two All-Americans that are out and now you have two guys that are playing out of position, you're playing basically now a third string guy that's in there, I think you can get away with it when you're playing Indiana and you're playing some of that. I want to see it against Oregon's front. Now, Penn State's front's pretty good and Ohio State did a nice job of running the ball, but it wasn't dominant. That was a 20-13 game.
Since lost their center.
Yes. I need to see that against Oregon. I need Ohio State to prove to me that they can run the ball, because look at that Indiana game. Yes, it ended up being 38-15, but as you mentioned, that's a 7-7 game, and then you had the special teams, you know, FUBU, where they dropped the ball, and I know it was a little rainy, and then you had the Caleb Downs one where, you know, that reminded me of when Oregon played Boise State, and that those teams were battling, but special teams is to me when a lot of times just the athletes show up, because that's usually your backups. And except for the, you know, Downs, who's a, one of the best, you know, players in the country, but the rest of those guys are backups. And you just saw it, it rear its ugly head. And in the span of like just a blink of an eye, two special teams plays, and all of a sudden you're down 21-7, and it never felt like Indiana was in the game. And so as good as Ohio State looked in that, I thought that Indiana did a nice job early on of containing them.
Yeah, I didn't. It was interesting to me to see all the post game praise for Ohio State.
Yeah,
because if you really watch that game, it wasn't that dominant.
No,
certainly in the first half, no. they just have better athletes, yeah. And they knew it.
But like Trayvon,
and they knew that the whole time.
Yeah, Trayvon Henderson had 9 carries for 68 yards. Now one of those was a 39 yarder, and obviously give credit to breaking that run. But even with the 39er mixed in there, he had 68 yards rushing. And then Judkins, the other guy, he went for 14 for 36. That's 2.6 yards a carry. And against Oregon, I'm not certain that that right there is going to get it done against a Ducks team. So in the rematch, I at the first one, I took Ohio State. I said, I think Ohio State beats them in a close one at Autzen Stadium. But with this version and that old line and that run game, I'm going to still take Oregon. I think Oregon is a more complete team right now because of injuries with Ohio State.
Yeah, I think the world is going to be on the Buckeyes.
Yeah.
If they lace them up. Ohio State just needs to beat Michigan, and if they do, they are in the Big Ten title game against Oregon. But to me, on the poll question, there are two bets there. I don't love Texas. I don't trust Sark as good as they could be. And you mentioned yours is now hurt. Georgia is too shaky for me to bet at plus 350, even though they're loaded with talent, but they have just not played that great. Even on defense, like UMass rushed for 225 yards against them.
Yeah, that's not great.
UMass! Dude, can I explain to you how bad UMass is? And look, I get it. Maybe Georgia didn't even show up to the game. It's one that they can sleepwalk through. Yeah. But usually they stomp a mud hole in teams like that.
Yeah.
And they just have not looked the same this year. Georgia, so I saw the stat that said that the best record in college football since 2020 is Georgia at 58-6.
Yeah.
You know who has the worst record? UMass.
Did you
7-43.
Did you know that UMass has played more teams with winning records in the SEC than Texas has?
Doesn't surprise me.
They've played two. Texas has played one.
I love that.
Doesn't surprise me.
That's fantastic.
But anyway, Georgia ended up winning by almost 40.
Sure.
But it was... That was one of those games you kept looking at the score going, what the hell?
Yeah.
So I don't trust Georgia this year. Ohio State plus 250 or Oregon plus 400, that is where the money is. And you're right. When we see the Big Ten championship game, when those two line up, most likely,
I'll see it.
That will tell you exactly who your money should be on.
Yeah. Probably,
most likely.
Yeah. And I'm
strange things can happen.
Though. Yeah. I'm just excited for it. I think we discount O lines way too much. And I know I'm an old O lineman, but
Homer.
Far too often we sit here and we make a big deal about wide receivers and quarterback play and all that. And just a lot of times there's a reason why Georgia and Bama and these teams like this win national titles. And it's because of the big boys up front.
Do you, if I gave you Oregon, Ohio State, mm-hmm. or the field?
I'll take Oregon and Ohio State.
One of those two wins
the title? I'll take one of those two and win the title.
All right, vote hard on X at 1080 The Fan. Which of the odds-on favorites is the best bet right now to win the college football playoff? Ohio State plus 250, Georgia plus 350, Oregon plus 400, or Texas plus 450. In a shocking turn of events, Oregon is hammering the poll at this point, leading with a lot of votes over... Actually, second right now is just Ohio State.
Does
22%.
Yeah.
Our college football nut punch is next. Shake up city over the weekend. But first, Buck with SportsCenter. Well, the Witches of November are undefeated.
Well, I'll tell you what, they came for the SEC.
Yeah.
And I'm the first one on here. I defend the SEC. I think. You know, everyone always loves to bitch and moan about them. Proof's in the pudding. They do it year in and year out. It's the best conference. They put the most players in the NFL. I mean, it's just sour grapes for people to bitch about them. But you got to call it like it is. And when you go out and collectively S the bed the way the SEC did, shut up. Like, I don't want to hear about the depth of your conference. I don't want to hear about how, you know, the bottom of your conference is tougher than the bottom of the Big Ten or the Big 12. I don't care. When you lose, and you lose spectacularly to bad teams, that's on you. You have some of those teams have everything in front of them. It's laid out before you. And I get it. Alabama, if you put Alabama on the field with Indiana, I'm probably picking Alabama. But it doesn't matter, because when you get your asses whipped by a bad Oklahoma team, and let's call it like it is, Oklahoma is a bad football team. They completed 9 passes for 68 yards, and they drubbed you. I don't want to hear it. You are out of it. You're done. Finished. Because you do not deserve a spot at the table.
Well, they Ole Miss. They lost. Ole Miss lost.
Yep.
Alabama lost.
Yep. Convincingly. And
somebody else lost. Who's the other one?
Who's the other one that went down in the SEC? Hold on. No, I thought
a third one went down.
No, I got to pull it up.
Maybe I'm wrong.
A third one did go down. They lost to Auburn.
A&M.
A&M.
But they still have a shot because...
Yes. If they beat Texas, they're actually...
They're in the SEC
in
title,
the SEC title game.
So basically, as it stands now, Georgia, because all those teams lost, Georgia is actually in the SEC title game.
Yes, they're guaranteed.
So they're in.
Their conference schedule is done.
Yeah, so they're in, and they will play the winner of Texas A&M, which is this weekend, which is great because that's a rivalry game that's finally being renewed, and there's a lot on the line. I mean, that's good stuff there.
It means something.
So, you know, the most shocking team still alive in the SEC, and it, granted, it's a long shot, but it's South Carolina.
Yeah.
I was reading today, they actually have a shot, even with 3 losses. But yeah, the SEC losses over the weekend now means that 2 ACC teams could get in.
Yeah.
So if SMU and Miami, say, play in the SEC championship game or SMU Clemson, those two could both get in now. Mm-hmm. So
and
it was a big it was a big shakeup. It was 7 of the top 17 teams in the country lost.
Yeah.
3 of those were from the SEC. Mm-hmm. And what's amazing about it is Indiana lost, and well, actually they got smoked, and their playoff odds improved because of everything that happened behind them.
The biggest benefactor to this whole thing is probably Indiana.
And the ACC.
Yeah, and the ACC. But if you're Indiana and you're sitting there and you get drubbed by Ohio State, you're probably sitting there being like, oh my God, like, is anyone going to take us seriously, or some of these 2 lost teams going to bump us out? And meanwhile, the SEC is like, nah, here you go. I mean, Indiana, as long as they beat Purdue, is essentially in. There is no more ifs, ands, or buts about it. And this is why I say, I'll sit here and listen to the argument all day that Ole Miss and Alabama are better than Indiana. Oh, well, you didn't prove it. You lost to bad teams.
Well,
you lost to sub-500 football teams. It's on you.
I agree with that. I think the question is it SEC depth, or is it that the top teams aren't quite as good this year?
Both. Because, yes. With the Pac-12, someone even on the text line even said, oh, when this happens in the Pac-10, we call it, you know, cannibalization, and when it's in the SEC, it's depth. 2 things can be true. When you play more conference games, it's tough. It's tough to win on the road, period. I don't care who you are. We got to get over this. It's tough to beat good teams on the road. It's just tough to win on the road, period. Oregon and Wisconsin, for example. Oregon's a way better team than Wisconsin. It's tough to win on the road when you play 8 straight weeks. And then you have to go a long road trip and play in a hostile environment. But I think there's a difference when you're in the SEC or in a better conference. In some years, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten would apply to this. Florida is not a good team. Oklahoma is not a good team. Okay? No one can convince me that those are not definitive statements. But from a talent standpoint, Oklahoma and Florida are top 20 recruiters. Florida's probably a top 12 or 13 recruiter. There are better athletes, as opposed to when you're getting ready to play Northwestern, or you're getting ready to play Arizona on a random year, and some of the Pac-12 teams. So from that standpoint, yes, it's more challenging to play in the SEC, because even when you're having a bad year, Oklahoma and Florida have better athletes. But it still gives me no excuse for losing to a bad football team. Is it harder to win in the SEC and the bottom half than it is the Pac-12? Yes, I'll go to my grave saying that, because, again, talent. But you still have no reason, no excuse to lose to a bad football team. Ole Miss And Alabama, I thought you could make an argument we're playing as good as anyone in the country. And when you got into a playoff, you did not want to play either one of those teams. And both of them lost to bad football teams. And both of them lost definitively to bad football teams. Alabama being maybe the ugliest game I've seen Alabama play
forever. That's their largest loss to an unranked team since 1998.
It's shocking. It's shocking. And Milroe, who it felt like he had figured some stuff out, and they're like, okay, we're using your legs. We're not going to make you a pocket quarterback anymore. I mean, I'm just joking. But like my first thought when he threw a couple of his interceptions were, dude, is that dude on the take? And I'm merely just joking. But those interceptions are... The two of them both out on little, basically one was on a little screen pass and the other one was like on a little 5 yard out. I mean that is like, if an eighth grader threw those picks, I'd be like, dude, what are you doing? And I know on the one, the guy jumped the route and you're like, well, the receiver has to make the block. It's 3-on-2. You got to throw it out there. He jumped the route before Milroe threw the ball. So as Milroe's getting ready to throw the ball, he's staring at the DB who's already gotten inside his receiver. So unless he's doing Izzy's closies and he's doing a Jordan free throw, he's like, hey, watch this. I'm going to throw this out here with my eyes closed. You don't have the ability to, like, you're not watching where you're throwing the ball.
I mean, people have actually had that issue with Dylan Gabriel in the red zone this year. There's a couple times where he has just thrown the ball when a guy has already jumped a route, a receiver's fallen down. But it's inexplicable. It feels like you should be able to just pull the ripcord and they don't.
I mean, I just sat there and watched Alabama play, and you're like, all right, you know, it's ugly, but they'll get it going. He throws the first pick, and you're like, well, Oklahoma's doing nothing on offense. Yeah, Alabama will be fine, and it wasn't.
They got smoked. Look,
it's hard to process.
I think the difference maybe in the SEC that I'm not sure a lot of conferences can boast, which is why it is sometimes about depth of that league. Is they have teams like when you look at Florida and Oklahoma, I'm not convinced that they're bad teams like you're saying, but what they are flawed.
Yeah.
But what they do have is they have talented and good, well-coached defenses. And then when you go on the road in November to their place, God forbid they find something on offense. And Oklahoma kind of did with Jackson Arnold running the ball.
Yeah.
And they haven't done that all year, but now all of a sudden they're kind of starting to figure it out. It's like, you know, that's the one thing I think SEC teams have depth-wise. When you go to the middle of the pack or even towards, I mean, Oklahoma and Florida are not at the bottom of the SEC standings, but you know what I mean. You get to that middle tier or the lower tier, you still have teams that can bite you because they have really talented, well-coached defenses that have been playing well. Like Florida and Oklahoma's defenses are pretty good.
Yeah.
They just are. They're ranked really well, or they're ranked really high. That has not been their issue, but that's a recipe for losing in November when you have to go on the road and play those. I don't think the Pac-12 ever really had that. I don't think that the ACC has that. I'm kind of going through the teams in my head, and certainly the Big 12 doesn't have that, do they?
No.
I mean, they're just, and those are the teams that are kind of primed to pick off some top teams, even though they may not be even close to the top of the standings. And that's what the SEC has. You know, it's a lot of depth in that way. But it also could be true, I think, is what you're saying, is that the top teams in the SEC this year aren't quite as polished and as good as they have been in years past. Yeah. If they were, they would not have 2 and 3 losses.
And I think the transfer portal is a big reason. I think it's thinned a lot of those teams out.
All right, well, let's give credit to one team that did not go down yesterday, next on the Fan, or Saturday on the Fan. Okay, there was one team yesterday. So we had 7 teams in the top 17 go down and almost an 8th. But I think that the 8th, say what you will about Penn State and James Franklin, I think they deserve a lot of credit. Because if you didn't watch that game, they were at Minnesota and they were in a dogfight the whole game, as you said would happen last week.
That was mine. I said if there was going to be a weird upset, I said keep an eye on old Roe in the boat.
And Minnesota had the lead at the half, and then you take it all the way down to 6 minutes left. Minnesota, Mr. Roe the boat, Mr. Aggressive, PJ Fleck, elects to kick a field goal down 4.
Yep. They were down Turdville.
26-22, they were at the, I think, what, the 7 or something?
Something like that. They were inside the 10.
And He didn't go for it. He kicked a field goal to go down 26-25. And then what James Franklin did on the last drive was he pulled out his onions, like yeah. Dan Lanning. And he freaking, first of all, he called a fake punt,
yep.
and they got it. And they converted two other fourth and one shots. He just went for it.
Yep.
So he went for it three times on the last drive, up 1 point.
Never gave him the ball back.
Never gave him the ball back. He got all three conversions, including a very ballsy fake punt.
Yeah.
That was, I think, 4th and 7. And this is a guy that gets a lot of flack for not winning the big game, and rightly so. But that is how you win games, Kenny Dillingham. Right there is you put it away. You keep the ball in your hands. You run the plays that you see the looks that you like. You run the plays that you think will work. And you have confidence and balls to go for it on fourth down when the game's on the line. He did it three times, and
crazy.
They won.
Absolutely
and he should
crazy.
Be given credit for that.
Yep, including one of—
Because Fleck did not.
No, he did not. I was shocked that they kicked that. Although, I was kind of sitting there, because you know me, I'm not a Drew Aller guy. I think Penn State's offense is wake me up. But to me, when Fleck kicked that, I was like, dude, you want to talk about the ultimate sign of disrespect for Penn State's offense? It's like, don't worry. I'm one of the more aggressive coaches in college football, and you ain't doing jack crap against us. So we're going to kick this, and we'll get it back, and we'll win on a field goal. And I loved, as much crap as I give Penn State and James Franklin and Aller and all those guys, I absolutely loved that he had the balls to keep going forward on fourth down and say, we are not putting this in the hands of our defense, yep. and we are not letting Minnesota go down and kick a field goal to beat us.
Got to give him credit.
I all the credit in the world. I don't want to. I don't like Penn State. I can't root for him, but
That's how you win.
That's how you win, and that's how you assure yourself of a spot in the college football playoff. And in a week where so many teams flat out crapped the bed and didn't show up, see Alabama.
Well, Arizona State tried to crap. They won.
Exactly, tried. And I love the fact that Penn State went on the road to not an easy place to play and found themselves in a dogfight and then decided to put it in their own hands. I think that's great.
All right, up next, the Pac-2 trophy has been hoisted.
Yes, it has. Even though, shouldn't that be this week?
Oh, wait.
They're the two teams in the Pac-2.
We'll discuss.
I feel like they should be playing this week.
And the one team playing perhaps the best football in the country, not named Oregon. We'll get to that next on The Fan.